You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
And the thinkers at the think tank, well, they say Seattle businesses will probably be doing the same thing now that that city has passed and is going down the road of a new $15 minimum wage.
Oh, yes. We're about to see what happens when people are living in an environment where $15 is the minimum wage for entry-level work. Welcome, everybody, to hour number four of the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. So glad you're taking time to be part of the radio program of record, the great conversation here on KVI, where just in case you missed part of the 5 o'clock hour, maybe you didn't get to the radio until about 5:15 or so, don't worry. Because on KVI.com, we post highlights of the show from all 4 hours. And don't worry about staying contemporary with what's going on, because we have not one, but two great Facebook fan pages. One is 570 KVI. Again, that's 570 KVI. The other is John Carlson Radio. Again, that is John Carlson Radio. All right, so if you are planning a summer vacation, or even a quasi-vacation, or what some people would call a staycation, and it involves any kind of outdoor adventure, from hiking to camping or canoeing or backpacking or whitewater kayaking, anything like that, make sure you are listening to the program in 29 minutes, because there is one book, the best standalone volume on outdoor adventure, that has just been published. Actually, it's I think it's fifth edition. It was first published back in 1944, regularly updated, and the author is local. So we'll tell you the name of the book, why it's so important, why you want to take it with you on wherever you're going, and how you can get a copy. Here on the John Carlson Show, again, in 28 minutes. Right now, let's talk about what you just heard, a little teaser about the minimum wage, $15, is a reality in SeaTac. Now, it's not for all small businesses in SeaTac. It's only the reality for businesses in the concourse, the SeaTac Airport concourse, and in some hotels and surrounding businesses near the airport, like parking lots. Well, one guy, his name is Eric Colville, gets his parking lot receipt, and he sees a charge there called the Living Wage Surcharge. And he's hopping mad about it. But should he be? At least, should he be mad at the company? Here's Como Force coverage with Mark Miller.
A living wage surcharge.
It's itemized right there on the receipt, the living wage surcharge. For this locally owned business, it's 99 cents a day.
This is one way of the business owners getting back at the public.
MasterPark customers suspect the company is making a political statement to express its displeasure over the $15 minimum wage law SeaTac voters narrowly approved. About 155 MasterPark workers got a huge raise this year.
I just really don't see that being totally spread out among all the employees. I'm sure that they're going to end up making a pretty good profit from this under the guise of living wage.
Okay, so that's one side of the story where it's, they're using the minimum wage issue to gouge the customer, and I'm sure they're coming out just fine on this end. Well, here's the other side of the story, courtesy Paul Guppy from the August, highly regarded think tank, Washington Policy Center. Who founded that outfit anyway? Anyway, here's Mark Miller from Coma.
Others don't see a political agenda at play here.
I just think that Master Park is trying to be transparent.
Paul Guppy is research director at the Washington Policy Center, a nonprofit independent think tank that does take a business-friendly view.
I can see that a customer would say, oh, you're showing me this cost just because you don't like the higher minimum wage.
But the reason, however, may be far simpler.
I don't think they want to be blamed for just cranking up their prices for no reason. So they want to be able to show the city of SeaTac changed the law, we are adjusting to the law, and this is how much it costs.
Not all customers object to the surcharge and the fact that it's printed on the receipt. For Alan Belton, it's a statement that aligns with his political views.
I'm trying to make it very, very clear that this money, that the extra money they're receiving, is going to provide money for someone to have a living wage.
Yeah, so basically what this parking garage business is doing, Master Park is doing, is they're saying, you know, this is why your car, this is why our service costs more for you. You know, they had to give all of their entry level workers a 50% raise. Remember, they jumped right to 15 right away. So from $9.32 to $15, it's a 55% raise. Just like that. And you can imagine that everyone who was earning, I don't know, you know, $12 or $14 an hour probably said, well, wait a minute. Why should we just get what some entry level guy gets? We want higher than $15. So these guys have to, you know, they can't cut their hours. They're, you know, airport parking facility. You got to be available, you know, 24/7. So the only thing they can do is raise their prices, but they don't want to look like they're, well, costs are going up. So they're saying, you know, here is what we have been required to do because of the city of SeaTac's vote. And you now have that reflected in your receipt. I think it's great that they broke it out for them. Boy, and you know what? I hope every business in Seattle does it next year. They should, in fact, they should unite around a term, you know, call it the living wage surcharge and add it to the people's bill so that people can know how much they are now going to pay. It's a de facto tax, really, but how much they will now pay. So this guy, Mr. Colville, don't be mad at the business. They wouldn't have raised your price 99 cents a day. And he was there for a week, so he was a little ticked off. I said, but don't be mad at them for being on the up and up with why it costs more. If they didn't get hit with a surcharge, then you wouldn't have been hit with it either. So I like this idea, and I hope more businesses, you know, start to do it. Now, there's another angle here on the minimum wage. Should the minimum wage be a city issue, or, as Tim Iman is suggesting, should it be a state issue? And, you know, you're going to hear, oh, you conservatives always talking about local control. And what, now you would dare try to tell cities they can't have a higher minimum wage if they want a higher minimum wage? And the response back to them is, well, why not? You're the one who set a statewide minimum wage. You did it with an initiative to push up the minimum wage and hold it to inflation. Why shouldn't it be constant? Now, you have to understand, this is a death blow to SEIU and to Shama Sawant and to everyone else, because inside a uber-liberal city like Seattle, maybe they can get away with this. You know, if there's an alternative on the ballot, people might be persuaded to go for it so they don't punish business. But if this battle is in Olympia, or if this battle is on a statewide ballot, then Seattle is going to lose. all you would need to defeat a $15 an hour minimum wage in Seattle by making the minimum wage a statewide issue only is just get 25% of the vote in Seattle, one out of four people, and you'll beat them. So this is the kind of thing that could just create nightmares for the unions. I mean, they think they own the city. And you know what? For the most part, right now, at least temporarily, they do. You've got a liberal electorate in the city of Seattle. You have a left-wing political establishment. The most influential player in city politics right now is not Ed Murray. It's Shama Sawant, the Socialist City Council member, because, I mean, she's the one who gave voice to the $15 an hour minimum wage. And when Ed Murray charged his Inequality Commission with coming up with an alternative to the ballot measure, he said the one thing is the ballot measure has to add up to 15. He says, you know, I understand you might not get to $15 an hour as quick as they do, but get there. He was fixated on 15. He didn't want to be under 15. And so if there was a statewide initiative that said, well, the statewide minimum wage will continue, but to reiterate, it will be constant throughout, that is going to throw organized labor in an uproar. So it'll be very interesting if this moves forward. I think Mr. Eyman might be on to something here. Let's go to Mark in the town of Olala on the John Carlson Show.
Hey, John. Good to talk to you again. I'm glad that they're putting on the receipt. I wish all of the businesses would put on the receipt for all those people that would say, oh, I don't mind paying just a little bit more so people can have a living wage. Well, then when they add it all up at the end of the month, they can see it's not just a little bit more that they're paying. They're paying a lot more.
Yeah, and I've been arguing for years, and great point, I've been arguing for years that when you pull into a gas station, the price should, you know, have the price that they're charging you, and then they should break out state and local tax, 37 cents, federal tax, 18 cents. So that you know that 55 cents of every gallon of gasoline you buy is in tax. 55 cents of every gallon. You're listening to The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. It is 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. Again, if you are planning any kind of a summer outing or vacation or staycation that involves hiking or camping, or canoeing, kayaking, maybe even a little backpacking, make sure you are listening to this program in 17 minutes, because we are going to be talking with the author of the single best standalone guide to outdoor adventure. And he's local and highly regarded. You'll find out why when we come back. Well, isn't this interesting? A really good back and forth exchange over faith and religion between Bill Maher and Ralph Reed. Ralph Reed, formerly the leader of the Christian Coalition, Bill Maher, uber atheist. You'll hear how it came out right after this. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
News and views you can't get anywhere else. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
And we are back, the John Carlson Show. And just to let you know that in less than 15 minutes, I will be giving out another free American flag here on The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. So make sure that you are tuned in. All right. A very interesting exchange between Bill Maher, who, of course, has his own show on HBO, and Ralph Reed, who used to head the Christian Coalition. He's just written a new book on, you know, faith and politics. And let's see, do you have, are we going to have you play that from in there, Phil? Because I really like the fact that Ralph Reed, even though he was on hostile territory, you know what Bill Maher does? Because I've been on stage with Bill Maher. He has his own crowd, and, you know, he dominates the program. And so it can be very intimidating because he's also a very forceful guy, and he doesn't like religion in general. And he's often very critical of Christianity in particular. But I thought Ralph Reed more than held his own. Here is Bill Maher with Ralph Reed.
I want to thank you for being here because, you know, a lot of people who are people of faith don't want to, you know, even be seen with me because I am the opposite of a person of faith. So I appreciate your courage. And I want to ask you right off the bat, faith, the purposeful suspension of critical thinking. I'm just defining it. I haven't said anything controversial yet. My question is, why is faith a good thing? Why is that a good thing?
Well, speaking for myself, faith gives me a sense of purpose. It gives me a moral compass. It's a relationship. It's not a set of rules. I understand that some people look at it and say, well, you're not really thinking for yourself. That's not really true. I do think critically. I study things. But I believe my destiny is resolved. And when you feel that your eternal destiny is resolved, you have a peace and a comfort and a freedom and a liberty to do the right thing and not care what other people think.
Well, I'll give you comfort. I'll give you that one.
So,
because when you've convinced yourself that there is this place you're going to go, mm-hmm. for which there is absolutely no evidence, it is just something people pull right out of their ass, Ralph. I'm sure it is easier to lay your head at night at the pillow and think, oh, this is good because, you know, if I die in my sleep, it's only going to get better.
Well, but it's also the fact, Bill, that it leads to, you don't have to have faith to be a good person. There are plenty of people who are good, decent people who don't have that. But the fact is that in the overwhelming number of cases, it is something that leads to social behaviors that are more committed to other people. You look at Robert Putnam's book, Bowling Alone, and he points out that half of all the social capital in America, volunteerism, commitment to Boy Scout troops,
but Ralph, you know, I could list so many things that are bad that religion has been responsible for. Most wars, the Crusades, burning witches at the stake, 9/11. I could go on.
Homeless shelters, 90% of which are connected with a house of worship. Many charities.
You can do those things without believing in magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. And people do.
So, you know, that was Ralph Reed on very hostile territory. I thought, you know, more than holding his own, you could tell that, you know, Bill Maher was trying to bait him. But if you really want to see, the reason I wanted to play this for you today is that if you really want to see Ralph Reed's words in action, I can sum them up in three words. Seattle Pacific University. Look at how well this school has handled the ultimate nightmare that any school, whether it's K through 12 or community college or university, would fear the most, which is a random killer shooting students on campus. And if you look at Seattle Pacific University, I actually think the school stands taller today than it did before the shooter arrived on campus, because they went through, you know, this horrible trial, and they were strong, they were steady, they were composed. They were, as Reed was saying, there was a peace that seem to center everybody. And of course, being people of faith, they sprang into action. You had John Meese, the young student, volunteer building monitor, who rushed the shooter, pepper sprayed him, knocked him to the ground, decisively took action, went toward danger rather than away from danger. That's character in action, and as John said, it was rooted in his religious faith. Other students immediately pile on to keep the shooter disarmed and at bay. And then you have the students praying on campus, being with each other. You didn't see acrimony, you didn't see rage, you didn't see, wailing in public or anything. What you saw was a composed, dignified campus going through grief together. And then you saw, how they've reacted since. John Meese, getting all sorts of reward money. He's getting married in 2 weeks. His bridal registry is filled, thanks in part to our own Brittany publicizing it. And what does he say? He said, please direct all future gifts to the victims. And so, it really, again, really sums up what is great about faith is Seattle Pacific University and how they've dealt with this trial. When we come back, as I told you, if you have any kind of an outdoor trip planned for this summer, make sure you're listening in the next few minutes because the single best standalone guide to outdoor adventuring was written right here in the Seattle area. Just out, just released. We'll tell you how to get a copy right after your headlines.
KVI.